brain, you're in the nerd's domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi everybody, I'm Matt.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Shirley.
And welcome to the Nerds Domain Podcast. This week we're talking about Pacific Rim. It's an immediate movie review!
Yay!
Real quick, before we get deep into that, let's talk about our standings. Some people moved this week.
Yay!
And Jesse, you should be the one excited.
I am.
No,
Pacific Rim?
No.
Has not
no.
been recorded yet. Will not be recorded until the Tuesday after the movie comes out.
Yeah.
However, still in first is the person we are no longer friends with, Niles.
Oh my gosh.
John is in second, behind about 160 million.
I'm in fourth.
In third is Jesse.
Yay.
About 36 million behind. Not bad.
No.
Right behind him is Shirley, and she's about 60 million behind you. Niles is about, or Wendell is about 90 million behind Shirley, and I'm $124 million behind Wendell.
Oh, my goodness.
However, this, okay, first, Lone Ranger had a crap weekend. A crap weekend.
You mean it was just a bad movie?
$51 million.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, that's what happens when it goes against Despicable. Despicable Me too.
Despicable Me brought in $153 million.
Yeah.
Which means you're about $60 million away from breaking your numbers. Like, you've made what you're supposed to on that. Nobody else has actually made what they bid. Like, you're supposed to be making about $10 million for every dollar you spend. And the only person that has come anywhere close, I'm about $46 million away on Epic. Fast and the Furious 6 is about
The Great Gatsby.
180 million. Great
and
Gatsby.
142.
Oh yeah, no. That means you should have 250 million.
Oh, that
you're
sucks.
About 110 million.
Oops.
Yeah. Oh. I'm sorry. Monsters University. You're about 2 million away from breaking your 220 million. So, yeah, Jesse, you really? John is only 11 million away from catching it with the heat. Ugh. And I'm only 149 million away on Lone Ranger. Sorry, I think Pacific Rim is going to hit the numbers.
I have a rule we should institute the next time we do this.
Okay.
No superhuman movies.
Why?
Because that's Superman and Iron Man 3.
I'm okay with those.
Pacific Rim is superhuman.
No.
Yeah.
The humans are normal.
Really? Just... What about Tony Stark?
Pacific Rim?
You don't call that kind of... You can't take scrap metal and make it into a robot you can ride into.
He didn't do that in Iron Man 3.
No, but he did that in his origin story.
So...
I don't know.
I think you guys are talking over my head. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Iron Man is this movie with...
And you guys are talking about Iron Man, which I understand it's this dude that makes a suit and he gets inside. And in Pacific Rim, it's a bunch of people that get inside a suit.
You're with us.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
There you go. I'm fine then.
Except they're a little worse at it in Pacific Rim. It takes two people in Pacific Rim. It only takes one in Iron Man.
The good news is...
But it's like... How many, like, a bazillion times the size of the suit that Iron Man wears? Of course
it's
going to take two people.
The good news is that, looking at the numbers, it looks like After Earth was the worst movie of the year so far.
That stinks.
Oh.
Because I liked it.
Well.
Yeah, and I think I had After
Earth,
too, didn't
I? You paid $27 for that movie.
Yeah.
It made $42 million. It means you should have spent about $4 million.
Yeah, I know. That's gonna lose me.
No, it made 42. Oh,
After
I'm sorry.
Earth, 58.
58. Yeah,
it doesn't matter still. Yeah.
Should have paid about $6 million.
I think that if they had actually trailered it for what it actually was, it would have sold better.
But then it wouldn't have been a twist.
There was no twist.
But the twist was it wasn't what the trailers made it be.
No, because he didn't write that movie.
You're not thinking meta enough.
He didn't write the movie. That doesn't work that way.
That's false advertising.
Yeah. So, that's the update on the draft. Johnny couldn't make it with us tonight. He had a family emergency. Wendell and Niles are pretty busy, so we haven't heard anything from them. But
they are missing in action.
Yeah, we would like to remind you to check out Dystopic Boys over at the Dystopic Radio Network.
Yep.
You know, come to think of it, I don't think they put anything out last week or two. So they're Niles probably
is flying. Wendell is flying. Wendell is flying.
Niles is probably on set somewhere.
Yeah.
So I would like to remind everybody that Pacific Rim is my movie.
That's why we had to go watch it.
In all fairness, we chose to watch this movie before we did the draft.
I don't remember that, or I'd have picked Despicable Me 2.
I would have picked Despicable Me 2, too.
I think it's... We didn't pick Despicable Me 2 because I haven't seen Despicable Me.
What?
I haven't seen the first one.
That is the best animated film in the world.
I don't know about it in the world.
In the world.
G.I. Joe the movie.
This beats it.
No.
Barely.
G.I. Joe the movie.
It has minions.
This has... G.I. Joe the movie has a snake dude... And another dude that gets turned into a snake, and there are living trees. Also, ooh, guy with bat wings.
I want to see that. Oh, talking about bat wings. Oh, never mind. I can't.
Okay,
see that.
So, just as a warning tonight, this one's going to get spoilery.
What?
So,
are we?
Really?
Oh yeah.
I thought we were going to try to stay
calm.
She already
got spoilery.
I didn't say anything. I was agreeing.
Wasn't
with the
there
bat
one
wings.
Flying before that one?
No.
Oh.
So now that we've already spoiled the movie, this one's going to get spoilery. Before we argue anymore about whether it's not or not is getting spoilery, it is in fact getting spoilery. So if you don't want to be spoiled by this movie, we understand. I wouldn't want to either.
Should we state what we feel about the movie before we get into
spoiler
part?
We'll hit that real quick, and then I will tell you we're going to go into spoilers. I'll pause, let you shut it off if that's what you want to do. I like the movie. I thought this was a fun action-adventure popcorn movie, and Guillermo del Toro gave us amazing visuals and just fun action. The story wasn't deep, but it didn't need to be. We'll sandwich Jesse between the two people that liked the movie. Go ahead, Jesse.
Okay, I thought it was meh. It wasn't that I didn't like it, it just wasn't what I was... Okay.
Why? Because
there were
the
plot holes that I'll get
we'll
into in the spoiler
about,
part.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. There's no character development really at all. Little tiny.
There's some.
Okay, I have to agree with
the
that.
Only character that I really liked wasn't in it very long.
Okay.
Hannibal Chow. He wasn't in it enough. What else? Oh, it was incredibly. You could see what was coming. Everything was...
Okay.
You could watch the first intro of the movie, and you could basically dictate what is going to happen throughout the entire movie.
So finish up your review so that we can get past Shirley's review, and then I can tell you why you're wrong and all these points. Keep going.
That's about it. Okay. That's good for now.
Shirley?
Obviously... Well, first of all, I want to thank the guys over at... Frog Pants for Film Sack and the guys at Major Spoilers for Zach on Film, because me listening to their apps has brought has opened my eyes to other things in the movie that what?
You listen to their apps?
Their apps, yes.
You mean their podcasts?
Their podcasts.
But
an app in my podcast thing, so I just click on the app and it brings up their podcast.
I'm not entirely sure that's how that works, but okay.
It's in the podcast app.
Sure,
you
sure.
Just click on
sure.
The little thing and the podcast comes up. Anyway, it's brought a lot of things to light that I wouldn't have necessarily looked for, or that actually I applied in this movie that made me enjoy the movie more.
Okay.
That being said,
Don't do it. Don't say it wasn't good. Go ahead.
Speak from your soul. Join the dark side.
I like Charlie Hunnam. So I can't say that I don't like the movie, because Charlie was an integral part of the movie.
Which one was he?
The main character.
Anyway, no. What I did... Okay, I don't usually look for, like, tropes and things like that in movies, but after listening
hold
to
on.
Some of the...
Oh, this has all...
Real quick. Don't get too deep.
Well, when... I liked it.
Did you like it? Did you really like
don't
it?
Don't let him censor you. Say
you
how
like
you
it?
Feel.
Did you really like it? Do you recommend it?
For an action flick, yeah, I definitely recommend it. It didn't have very much story in it, which is the movies that I like After Earth has a lot of stories in it, and after I got past it, After Earth wasn't like the trailer, and I watched it for what it was, I really liked it. But Pacific Rim, for me, was just kind of like a Fast and the Furious movie.
So you would recommend this to...
Anybody that liked Real Steel.
Ooh, yeah. We'll talk about that in a second.
Actually, I didn't see that.
According to IMDb, people who like this movie will also like After Earth, Oblivion, Ender's Game, the fourth Transformer movie that isn't out yet.
It's just picking new things.
Super 8 and Cloud Atlas.
Yeah.
It's just picking new stuff.
Okay. So.
No.
But yes, I would recommend it to somebody too. I would recommend it to myself 20 years ago.
Oh. Okay. What were you like 20 years ago?
I enjoyed action movies
mm-hmm.
that didn't have a plot,
mm-hmm.
didn't care about character development,
okay.
and didn't look at plot holes.
Okay. You guys are going to have to teach me about plot holes because I have no
idea. You'll see it when I say it.
Did you guys notice that Justin Robert Young was in the movie?
No. Was
what
he?
What do you mean, Charlie Day?
Yeah. You know that guy from Always Sunny in Philadelphia? That's Justin Robert Young.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
He's not Justin Robert Young.
No, it looks a lot like him.
Yeah, it does.
That's hilarious.
So, with that said, this is the point where anything past now is going to be spoilers. I apologize. I know normally we don't do this. Normally I wouldn't. But there's... It's not like we can talk about a lot of stuff here without really ruining the movie. It's not like it's so deep that we can discuss the side stuff and still leave you with something.
Yeah.
This is not a deep movie. I don't claim it's a deep movie. I loved it, but it's not a deep
movie. If we just should did we that, go ahead it would be like 15 minutes
yeah, should
long.
We go ahead and give them our star review?
I'd say 4.
Yeah, I would say 4.5.
About 2.5.
Yeah.
Maybe pushing 3.
Were you looking for more?
So what's your average score? Did I mean, an average movie, like, what does that get?
An average movie gets 3.
This is less than average?
This is a little less than average.
Okay, maybe this is the point where spoilers are going to start. I'm apologizing.
Maybe it was just because I was expecting more. And I want to see more.
Did you like Rock'em Sock'em Robot? I mean, Real Steel?
I have not seen Real Steel.
Okay. Stop about the Rock'em Sock'em Robot. I know it was based on that.
Okay. Did you like Gundam Wing?
Not particularly. I'm not a big mech
fan. Do you like Voltron?
Oh, you're not a big mech
Wait, hold on. Let's back up. Do you like Power Rangers?
A bit.
Okay, how can you not like this movie if you like Power Rangers?
I didn't like it a lot.
This has better story than Power Rangers.
It does. It does.
Alpha, we've got a problem. Let's go get the 5 least trained people in the entire world. They're in high school. And we'll have them pilot this giant mech that can destroy towns. That sounds like a great idea, right, Alpha?
Well, I agree. If you pick the worst thing possible and compare this to it, yes, this is a gem.
Do you like Godzilla?
Yes, that is what I do like. I like Godzilla. I like
the
monsters
effects. Comparing
the
monsters to the Godzilla. Okay, well, let's talk about
the
CGI.
I like the fighting.
Let's talk about the CGI real quick. Was that not really good CGI?
Visually. It was amazing. And I kept having to tell myself, because when I buy movies, I buy them and then I watch the extras, you know, on the DVD. And Fast and the Furious, like... And I'm always going to go back to this one because, like, I watched the extras, and everything is green screen.
Yeah.
I mean, like, everything. And I just kept having to tell myself throughout the whole movie, they are not really doing this. That is all a green screen. And when I did that and I looked at their acting and what they had to react to, I was just like, oh, my gosh. You know, it's amazing because they're putting all of this emotion and realism into, you know, what is going on actually on the screen.
He was in Star Trek.
Clifton Collins. Yeah, he was in a lot of things.
He was the ops guy.
Like, in the 80s, he was the guy that was always the Hispanic gangster.
Well, I hate to pick nits, but...
I loved him. He's really good.
It did lose me a bit on the water spray when they were walking through the water with the robots.
Look at the robots and look at the monsters.
Those were great. Yes.
Those look good.
Those were
absolutely
fantastic.
No, I mean, when they're
fantastic.
Walking, they're not tossing water up everywhere.
Yeah.
Like they should be.
And the spray itself is not...
It wasn't as good as it could have been.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. But the monsters and the interaction with the cities...
Yeah,
I mean,
the city fights was great.
Looking at the water spray?
It's a visual medium.
I hate to say it, but I might have looked at this a touch too critical. And that might be...
Yeah.
A lot of my standing.
You're wrong.
I'm starting to watch everything critical. Okay. I'm turning into a critical.
So let's talk about the 3 things that I saw that were so very much another movie. So at the very beginning, they wake up to the alarm, and
yes.
Charlie Hunnam.
H-U-U.
Riley Beckett, the main character, jumps out and he gets his brother Yancey. Yancey, by the way, Yancey, which that called back to another thing. Altogether, that should not have, because that took me straight to Futurama.
Yeah.
Yancey Fry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which it shouldn't have that.
No, it had no real, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
So he says to him, don't get cocky, kid. You know that's from?
No.
Jesse, when you watch Star Wars as a kid, and they're in the Millennium Falcon shooting TIE fighters, what does Han Solo say to Luke Skywalker when he blows one up?
You're right, yep.
What does he say?
Don't get cocky, kid.
Okay. Now, the second thing was... Oh, I lost the second thing. It felt very much like Independence Day.
Yes.
When so you're taking all my stuff. It's the stuff that I told you.
No, I got the first one. No, I was going to leave you Top Gun.
Thanks. Oh, okay.
What about Dumb and Dumber? You were going to mention that earlier, later too.
What?
So they find out what's going on with the aliens, and the guy says, Charlie Day says, they come, they conquer, they devour, and they leave. Don't like. That's exactly what Independence Day was. That's essentially what they tell
him. Well, yeah, true. Premise, you're right. Yeah,
the same premise. Alien
which I, again, yeah. I'm not. That doesn't kill the movie for me. It's just the same basic premise done in a better way.
Yeah.
Honestly. And then the last one. Go ahead, Shirley.
Top Gun?
Tell us about it.
Okay, so when they... The Independence Day
was over...
Oh, yeah,
yeah. There was the other part of Independence
was
Day.
Was when... I think his name is Idris Elba, or Pentecost,
Marshall.
Was standing in the bay or wherever they were, and he's giving that speech. And essentially, it's almost the same exact speech, just with different words.
From
the one in Independence Day.
Yeah, he starts off with, we're canceling the apocalypse.
Well, that was the end of it. We're canceling the apocalypse, and the actor in Independence Day essentially said that this is everyone's Independence Day.
Yeah.
And when he got up there and he started talking, I was like, oh my gosh, what, this is like something else. And I finally realized that it was like Independence Day. But then a lot of it, when all of the fighters and all of the crew were gathered around and they were doing the celebration, and Pentecost did some of the call-outs, and there were a couple call-outs from the characters, it was very much like that, the last fight on Top Gun, when they came in, and everybody was, you know, they did the call-outs, and, you know, Iceman was like, you can be my wingman, and no, you can be mine. I literally was, like, waiting for some type of line like that to come out, because it was so much, it was so similar to that scene.
So, if you guys are still listening and haven't seen the movie and we're spoiling you and you're okay with that, let's talk about the story real quick. No. So this
is going to be the shortest conversation.
Probably. There's a rift in the Pacific Ocean and these monsters are coming out and tanks and machine guns don't seem to slow them down much. And they do eventually kill them, but not before they destroy whatever city they're in.
Yeah. Right.
So they start this thing called... They're called Kaiju, so they start this program called the Jaeger program, which build giant robots called Jaeger. Jaeger is German. According to the movie, please don't quote me on this. According to the movie, Jaeger is German for hunter. So they build these giant robots. And then we find out that the Beckett boys are great fighters, and they have the ability to do a thing called drifting. One pilot can't handle the mental load of a robot, so they...
Of the Jaeger.
So they have people share the load by merging minds. Mind melding, even. They said mind melding.
Yeah.
Did they say that?
They did. They said mind melding.
I think maybe they said it, and then I was like, I'm just going to dismiss that Star Trek reference.
So they mind meld, and then they control the robot together by being the same person, essentially, and sharing memories and all that. Well... the main character and his brother go out to fight one, and it's a really big one, and it catches them off guard and doesn't get killed by their plasma shooting and kills the main character's brother. Literally rips him out of the cockpit. And that kind of ends his career, and then the main part of the movie starts 6 years later. They're shutting down all the Jaeger programs. They're building a wall.
Yeah, which was 5 years after the initial trouble in the first place.
Yeah.
The 6 years after, the 5 years after. So we've already jumped 11 years, about maybe 10 minutes into this movie.
It was probably more like 20.
Maybe.
Remember, it's a 2-hour movie. It's probably 20 minutes in.
Maybe.
So they're building a wall, which, by the way, walls didn't keep the Huns out. Walls didn't keep the Turks out. Walls don't keep anybody out. We don't build walls now.
They didn't
now.
Keep the zombies out.
No, yeah, they didn't even keep the zombies out. Exactly. Go back to our last immediate review. They went right over the freaking wall in that thing. So walls are worthless. So their whole plan is, we're going to build a wall. Right? Seriously? Around the entire Pacific Ocean? That's your plan? That's what their plan was, right? Yeah. We're going to build...
That was it.
Okay, let's talk about the... You can't do that. Are you going to build a wall? You have to build a wall around every continent. On the edge of the continent, just build a wall.
You'd have to, because even if it starts in the Pacific, they could just swim around to the other ocean. But it doesn't matter. Like while they're still constructing they start...
What happens to everybody in Hawaii?
Who needs Hawaii?
People that live in Hawaii. Yeah. We have listeners... No, we don't have listeners in Hawaii.
We may have listeners in Hawaii.
No, not according to our download stats.
No, I said in the future.
Oh, yeah. No, no. We love Hawaii.
Yes.
A jerk.
I have family in Hawaii.
Well, I'm sure they'd have been evacuated.
Okay.
They were talking about heavy evacuations at that time also.
So they build this wall, and they're down to four Jaegers, which, by the way, you've got four? The entire Pacific Rim. Millions upon millions, probably billions of people, because it's China. You've got four. Also...
Well, you think about the aperture of the portal. I mean... you're thinking about one portal aperture.
That portal had to be pretty freaking close to Hong Kong, too.
It did, because they were moving a lot quicker. That's one of the plot holes I was talking about. Yeah. Just the fact that they go... Why aren't they always attacking the same location?
Yeah.
If they're coming out... And they do state that they're after the main cities, the weakness. But still, it's... They get to Hong Kong in, like, no time as they pop out of that portal.
And they get from Hong Kong to the portal in no time.
Yeah.
Like, they're underwater for, like, a minute, and then they're at the portal.
Yeah.
And I don't care how big you are, you can't run thousands of miles.
They specifically state in the show that only one of them's even vaguely fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not fast.
It's not really.
Well, I think they left most of that out. You're talking about the Jaegers, right, getting to the portal.
They did helicopter them out there.
Yeah, they helicoptered them out there. But the thing
they didn't helicopter in the Jaegers. Not the Jaegers, but they didn't helicopter in the Kaiju, though.
No.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Well, but the Kaiju can fly.
Well, only one can. And only one swam real fast, too. The rest of them didn't move that fast. Well, yeah, but there's still the late one.
Right.
Yeah. There were stage fours or category fours or whatever they call them.
Yeah. So the whole thing comes down to these four Jaegers. It's a Russian team, and they are very stereotypical Russian.
Yes.
A Japanese team, and they're very,
very stereotypical Japanese.
An Australian team, and they're kind of jerks.
Yeah.
And then this main character, Raleigh, his team, and it's him by himself, and he needs another pilot, and that's where you meet Mako, and she joins the team, and they have problems drifting, and... End of story is the only people that survive are.
I don't remember. I know that the Russian one was painted red, but was the Japanese red?
Yes.
I thought so.
It
so they were both wearing were both wearing red shirts then, basically.
The
Russians were red.
I don't think so.
The Russians were black.
I thought the Russian
was
red.
The Japanese were like red and gold.
Okay, so only one of them was
Japanese
technically wearing a red shirt.
Yeah,
But when you met them, didn't you know that they were basically put there to die?
No, they're super gray. Like,
are they?
The
okay,
are.
Okay.
They're black.
And with a stupid helmet.
That weird flat. Sort of like a...
It was flat.
It was kind of like their hats on the old guards.
And the thing is, that's what, when they were introducing each Jaeger... And it was like the Russians and the Japanese and the Australians and then the American. You know, you had the Gypsy Danger. It all felt like it was calling back to one of the World Wars. I can't remember where the planes. You know, the Japanese were the suicide bombers, and you had planes actually named. Kind of like Gypsy Danger.
Yeah.
There was a Gypsy something. And then the Russians were very, you know, I felt like, I don't know if any of you have seen Red October.
Yeah.
But it felt very, when they introduced them, it felt very much like the opening scene of Red October, where you had the Russian anthem and, you know, that whole buildup of, like, the old world.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's the whole stereotype.
It does mention it's the only Mark One left.
Yeah.
And so,
the big heavy hitter,
So they end up, the Russians die to drowning.
Yeah. Yeah. The Japanese die in the same fight.
Which is kind
Japanese
of...
Japanese die to being crushed to death.
Yeah.
Right. Which, the Russians drowning that way, it kind of, it made me, I don't know, I was thinking, you know, like, there's all the movies that have had Russian subs and everything in it, and they usually survive, and then them drowning in that way, in their Jaeger in the ocean, I was just like, wow, that's kind of impactful.
Can we use this moment to talk about character deaths, or should we wait until...
Let's wait a little bit. So, they all, the Russians and the Japanese die in the first big assault. And then the Australians and the American-ish one. It's not really American because it also had a Japanese, or a Hong Kong. Japanese because she was from Tokyo.
She was from Tokyo, but she was raised by the captain who was
the marshal.
Yeah, who's...
Yeah.
English
or American. So
technically she's...
They go out, they go to seal the thing. There's some other plot twists, and they seal the rift, and everyone wins except for the people that died. And that's pretty much the story. I mean, it's not a super in-depth story. There's some more to it, but it's really not super in-depth. Guillermo del Toro said that he was making a popcorn action flick, and I think he did. I think he did perfect. I enjoyed every single bit of it. There wasn't anything I didn't enjoy. You're going to tell me all about all these plot holes. I just ignored them. Go ahead.
I understand.
Go ahead. So tell me, I mean, that whole, the rift thing being wherever
the
it
rift
was,
thing was the plot hole. There is
that's
a...
It? That's all you got?
There's also a... what is it called? Deus Ex Machina or something like that?
Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah. There is one of those.
Uh-huh.
During, like, the... I want to say the second to last fight. This whole movie, they're shown punching these kaiju all over the place.
Okay.
I felt like I was
and
watching a boxing match.
Then one of them... It was with the flyer. Grabs the suit up, takes up, and then all of a sudden, the last resort, they've lost their plasma gun, everything. They decide to equip the sword. So they've had this sword the whole time.
The reason they don't use the sword is they explain that. They do.
What?
Blood. The blue blood pollutes the water. They explain that at the very beginning of the movie.
But they're
shooting them
to
pieces, and they're punching them to death. There's just as much blue blood everywhere else.
True.
With the laser cannon, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, because
the Japanese one had blades. They
had
the spinny
blades. The Japanese
one
didn't have blades the whole time. But the Australian one was punching.
It had blades.
And then towards the end, it started using blades. Why weren't they using the blades the whole time? I'll admit, the Japanese one turns on their blades pretty quickly.
I don't know. I got no reason why they didn't use them the whole time. It was last resort.
But why would it be a last resort? It's a good weapon.
Because your primary weapon is a plasma cannon.
Well, it is, but they were still punching. And it just seems like any time you laid a punch, you should have the sword attached to it because it comes right out of their fist.
Yeah.
It's like Wolverine, using his claws.
No, that's what Wolverine is. It's like Wolverine not using his samurai sword because he has one of those.
Nothing like that.
So also, he didn't know he had it. I'm gonna argue that
until
point.
She pointed it out. I mean, he was like, "What?"
Which, by the way,
and
if I'm
so he's the world's worst pilot then because he doesn't know what his machine.
No,
because
it got added on, and they only had like 2 days.
Yeah,
it might have been added.
And
on.
I thought,
she said that her whole thing is she's been upgrading the Mark III.
True.
So she knew because she put it there.
Still, she should have turned it on earlier.
Or gone, hey, here's the new manual. By the way, there's a sword.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your next plot hole? That it?
Well,
that's it.
The next problem I had was the entire movie, they state how hard it is to drift with someone. It's just this really hard thing. You have to find a perfect match. You have to be exactly equal.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, the...
Marshall
decides to
meld. Did you hear why, though? Why
with...
it's so hard to because they show you the reason it's so hard to
drift
is because
you bring in the baggage of each person.
And you latch onto memories sometimes.
Yes.
And you can latch onto other people's memories. You have to learn how to let that go. And what the Marshall says is, I bring nothing. Because he's so trained.
Yeah, but that's...
But he knows how to do it.
I don't know about
and
that.
And he knew what the other guy was going to bring, and he was ready for that. This is a seasoned veteran who understands how to do it. So what they're saying is rookies don't know how to drift, and that's why they're so hard to find.
Bring up the alien
maybe.
Thing.
Oh no,
the alien drifting.
Oh yeah, no, I kind of liked the alien drifting thing because they did. I felt like they were a better match than just about anybody else who was matched together.
Yeah.
But they were made.
I mean, the two brothers made sense. Yeah, the triplets made sense.
Yeah,
the guy and the girl made sense because they were brothers and sister. I meant hero and the woman who joins him later because they wanted to get together anyway.
Yeah, so I'm okay with all of them. There's not one on there that I didn't. Yeah,
my main part of my man is from character development, and there seems like there was so much potential here. Let me ask you a question. I know it's not what the director wanted.
No. What's your favorite action movie?
What's my favorite action movie? Demolition Man.
Where's the character development?
Throughout the entire movie.
Wrong. What, he learns how to knit? That's the character development?
It is, because he no longer has the fighting ability.
He still has all the fighting ability. He just doesn't have the extra. History is not a character.
History is a character.
We're talking about the characters here.
Yeah.
We're talking about Wesley Snipes, no character development.
There is a ton of character development for Wesley Snipes.
Sylvester Stallone, no character development.
He does not show remorse at the end of the show.
Sandra Bullock, no character development.
There is. Oh, except she almost completely changes.
Except throughout the arc of the story,
almost every character changes.
Sadly enough, John Leguizamo has the most character development in that movie.
John Leguizamo's in it?
I'm pretty sure.
Where is he going?
He's one of the cops. I'm pretty sure that's him.
Anyway, though.
There's no character development in most action movies.
If this was made into a sequel, I could see this being a better movie. If there were two of them, maybe give it a little longer. Like I said earlier, Hannibal Chow is one of my favorite characters. I could watch a 2.5-hour movie centered on him.
Well, I'm sorry, that was Benjamin Bratt. Yeah. I think they look the same, right?
No.
Which it helps. I like Ron Perlman and just about everything he does.
Ron Perlman. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. He Hannibal was Chow could be.
He was fun, but he was not a serious character either. I mean, like.
No. But not
did
at
you
all.
Wait to the end?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
there is a scene at the end where Ron Perlman's character gets eaten by a baby kaiju and cuts his way out at the end of the movie, and you don't know he's still alive. That was kind of fun. I like that. That was fun.
But it seems like. I don't know. There were parts that they tried to add a little bit of fun that I kind of just rolled my eyes at, too. Like, when the fist punches through the building, and then it sets off the continual motion thing.
Yeah. No, that was... We both laughed. I loved that.
I could not help but to roll my eyes at that moment. It was
funny, but it just seemed misplaced a
little bit. Wasn't, yeah, okay, I could see that. That wasn't the kind of movie it needed. They could have spent that time developing characters.
It just wasn't...
Maybe it's not the kind of movie I like anymore, is what I'm trying to say. This isn't what I go for when I go to watch movies anymore. It was at one time. It's
and now you go for stuff like
not me anymore.
Like what?
What was the last movie I've seen that I enjoyed?
Hopefully, World War Z.
Yeah, World War Z.
There's no
was...
character development there.
You're just gonna try to argue with me with everything.
No, I'm
aren't
just
you?
I'm trying to point out that your argument of no character development. That's why this movie sucks. Then you look at other movies that you have enjoyed
recently. I didn't say no character development was the only thing. No character development was part of it. It's also the plot holes, which there's plenty of in World War Z.
Yeah. Well, every movie's going to have plot holes.
It is.
You're going to either have to accept them or hate every movie. I mean, honestly. It depends on how glaringly bad they are.
Yeah.
And there were some bad ones in this one, but they weren't that bad.
No, I'm not saying I was upset for watching it. I'm glad I watched it. I would have rather watched it at the house.
I don't know.
Possibly on Netflix.
Honestly. I think that kind of movie you need a big screen for.
Yeah.
It more seems like one of those kind of movies that I'd rather talk about as I watch it. And I can laugh with somebody and say, hey, did you see that? Or reminisce about better movies.
So you didn't like it because of the plot holes?
That's not the only reason.
Well, I'm summarizing.
The plot holes there.
And the lack of character development.
It helps that there was also... It seemed to have followed the wrong characters. There's characters that I cared for. I didn't really care too much for the main character.
Yeah, he was a little on the stiff side.
I liked the scientist. I didn't think I would at the start with. And when they first introduced, I thought they went as stereotypical with those two guys as they possibly could.
Justin Robert Young was really good in those scenes. What? No.
But, It just seemed like the pacing, it skipped things I wanted to see.
Yeah.
When it first skipped the first 5 years, that first 5 years was the movie I wanted to watch.
But the thing is, the first five, they built.
I know, they were winning, and they were building.
This is what they do. They tell you the story, then they tell you this. They tell you what happened up to now, so you understand what's going on. Then they establish why this character is down and out. Then they bring him back. And I'm fine with that. I had no problem with that. I understand why you would want to see the winning part. But that would have been a boring movie. There's no threat there. I guess if it had been like, this thing showed up, oh my god, we need to go build something. But it took 14 months. Are we going to really watch a movie for 14 months?
Well, true. I don't want to see everything. But still, yeah. It seems like they could have at least talked about other categories. You see a category 1, you see a category 3, you see a category 4. They completely skipped category 2.
That's true.
I think it's because that they would have just...
Well, we see a category 5.
We see a category 5. Yeah.
Which was huge.
It was.
And had spinny tails of death. That was kind of dumb.
Yeah, I first seen the tentacles come up, I thought they had actually pulled Cthulhu out of this. And I was thinking, well, oh, this is saved. This is perfect.
That's what I thought of when it came up out of, yeah, you know, out of the depths. But
well, yeah, it comes up with its tentacles, but what was it doing? Coming out in reverse? Because that's its tails.
But it was octopus. Up, it was using them to spin an attack.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you think of, you know, squid and octopus and...
Yeah, things from the deep.
Things other from the worlds. Deep. So it's not so far-fetched. That would be, you know, one of the scary things.
So, plot holes.
The biggest plot hole was the kaiju getting to Hong Kong when they needed to really quickly.
Yeah, that was a little quick.
I think what I felt like you guys are saying is that there was like, he cut out all the time.
He did.
Like, he cut out all the time it took for the monsters to get somewhere. Yeah. Well, and the Jaegers to get
here's
to another
problem.
Place.
I get why the Russian drowned. But they express in the movie that, oh, well, we've done this before. We've assaulted the Rift before.
Yeah.
If you've assaulted the Rift before, why aren't your mechs built with better sensors? Oh, I can't see nothing. I can't see nothing. That's what he keeps saying.
Yeah.
I don't see nothing. Why aren't you equipped with something better?
Yeah.
You just said we've done this before. If you've done this before, why aren't you better equipped?
You think that there would be better radar?
Yeah. I mean, crap.
The Navy has better radar.
Well, it seemed like once they were winning, 90% of the fighting was happening out in the ocean.
Yeah.
So why were they still using mechs at all? I mean, they could have had the Jaegers for... the land-based attacks if something slipped through, but it seems like they'd be working more on a naval force or something, like a more powerful submarine or something, or...
Well, you saw how big those
were. You don't
have
the maneuverability with a submarine.
Yeah, you really
no,
don't.
True.
Yeah. And submarines, you're firing blind.
Yeah,
you have
that
something
would work
to fire.
Yeah, there'd be
I
no
mean,
sonar possibly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just... I get what you're saying, but no. It doesn't... Yeah. I don't think it works that way. So, what did you like about the movie? The monsters.
I like the monsters. I like the fighting. It was a good, fun movie. When
did
I watched
you,
it
like
reminded
the,
me of
the,
Robot
did
Jocks.
Did you like the King Kong monster?
Yes. Yes,
did,
I
like,
did. That was,
not,
yeah,
like,
yeah, that was,
King Kong
it was
you?
Definitely King Kong. I liked the sub-characters. I liked the Russians while they were there, but I feel like they were a waste of time because they were only put in there to die. When they first entered up, I went, they're dead. I'll admit. I was shocked that the Japanese and the Russians dying in the same fight was surprising.
Yeah,
but
that one a little... You're right. You said it was rushed.
Yeah.
On Facebook, you said that. It did feel very rushed. It went very quickly. And it didn't feel like a two-hour movie.
No.
At all.
No, it didn't. That is one good thing about it. It really feels like it's...
It's more like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Or maybe an hour and 45, and you've got a whole nother... Yeah. I really liked Hanwell Chow.
Yeah,
that was
definitely my favorite character in the movie.
And Charlie Day's character was pretty good, the scientist, the crazy one. Although he came off a little Pokemon hungry.
A little bit.
So, what did you think, sweetie? Anything you got to point out?
I like the movie a lot. As far as character development goes, when I think of character development for a movie, I think of it over, like, a long period of time. You know, I've been the same person for 4 or 5 years. You know, I don't expect the characters to change that much while they're on screen, unless they're going for, like, a 10-year stint and you're seeing a time lapse over a long period of time. So, when I think of character development, that's what I think, and I'm probably thinking wrong. But my favorite character in the whole movie was the little girl. Oh my gosh! I mean, I
was
think
well acted.
She was
amazing. She made you believe that there was monsters underneath the bed and in the closet, and the way that you know, if it was a blue screen or whatever, the way that she cried the whole time. But she just made you feel like it was real. That was the part where I was sitting on my the edge of my seat the whole time. The other part was like, oh, I'm just watching, you know, another Fast and the Furious.
That was one of my favorite parts, too, especially with the knight in shining armor sort of a moment when he's standing on top of
exactly.
the robot.
Exactly. And the thing is, I don't know if this is a stereotype or if this is a callback to the 80s or whatever, but I just remember a lot of movies where there were Oriental and then people of color. They were always together. They always got married. And it was, seemed like that type of pairing. And then when this happened, I was like, oh, God, that's like such a stereotype. I've seen that like in movies 100 times before. So I think that was another throwback. There were some times in the movie where the music that they were using didn't match the scene that was going on. I felt like there was this part where it was going dun 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 dun, and what was happening on the screen wasn't the same as the movie, so it was very disconcerting to me because I'm trying to sit here, because I love music, I'm trying to sit here and watch the movie, and I hear this, you know, offbeat rhythm going on with the scene, so that was a little disconcerting. But overall, I really liked it. What I realized is, and I asked Matt about this after the movie was over, I was like, so in Sons of Anarchy, does Charlie, like, protect women a lot? Is he always, like, standing up for them or fighting for them or whatever? And he told me that that's one part of Charlie's Charlie's character in Sons of Anarchy, and it's something that he did in this movie with Mako.
Yeah.
And I had not, I think it was last week or the week before, I had watched Deadfall, and he's in that as well with Olivia Wilde and Eric Bana, and he does the exact same thing. Like, his facial expressions and the way that he, you know, carried himself within that scene of when he's like, you know, you need to apologize to her. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just saw him do this in Deadfall. So I think that that's kind of a, like a quirk maybe he's picking up with his script, I've noticed that a lot of actors do that. They'll play the same type of, I don't know if it's a hook, you know, in music, different bands have hooks. That's what makes them unique. I don't know if, like, this is his hook, but I thought that that was interesting that he was doing it again in this movie.
Thanks for mentioning he was in Sons of Anarchy, because I thought I'd seen him from somewhere and I couldn't place him.
Yeah.
I've only watched a couple episodes of that,
he's...
so I haven't watched him.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I started it, but I'm kind of in a Breaking Bad sort of a thing now. So.
Yeah. This is only a couple of bits of trivia. This is only the second movie that Guillermo del Toro has had Ron Perlman as a human in.
Oh, really?
The other was Kronos.
What? I've heard that a couple times. What's Kronos?
It's a movie.
Nice. With Ron Perlman in it.
No, I have not, honestly.
No.
Ellen McLean was the voice of the computer, also the voice of GLaDOS from Portal and Portal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was something else. Jaeger, blah, blah, blah.
Well, when I first said Jaeger, when I heard Jaeger on the commercials, I thought it was in reference to Chuck Jaeger.
Pilot
guy.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
Jaeger is spelled with Y there.
Well, they didn't show the writing on the commercials.
Yeah,
so.
Gypsy Danger is painted and detailed to resemble a World War II fighter pilot. That's
World
why.
War II
yeah.
fighter pilots,
yeah.
exactly.
And
then, so Gottlieb, the like British scientist, what else has he been in?
I've seen him in something.
Yeah.
I know I have.
He's a very recognizable face, and I keep wanting to say that I've seen him in one of the Joe movies, but I know that that's wrong.
I think I've seen him in something.
Gottlieb.
A
his
lot.
Name is Byrne something. His first name is actually Byrne, B-U-R-N.
Who
Byrne Gorman.
The stiff scientist.
Yeah, he's not. I don't think he's in G.I. Joe, but he's in Game of Thrones.
Oh,
Dark
that might
Knight
be
Rises as
oh.
a dude.
Who's in Game of Thrones?
Carl. You know, Carl that's always being chased by zombies.
Huh.
No, I'm not seeing him in anything big. He did look familiar, though. I think he reminds us of that guy from that other thing.
Yeah.
He was in something about Mary. And I can't think of his name either.
Yeah.
Oh, I also liked Max Martini being in it. The dad.
Oh.
Australian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, who was also in
what was his name?
The Unit, I believe.
The Unit.
It was a good TV show as long as you stopped before the last season of it.
That guy. I know it doesn't look like it there, but yeah.
So, yeah, I saw him and I thought, okay, he's on Defiance. He's the dad, but he's not the dad on Defiance. He looks similar to the dad on Defiance.
Okay.
Did any of the deaths shock any of you guys?
I was surprised that they died so quickly in those first.
But I meant overall, though. Did anybody die who you thought wouldn't, or did anybody survive who you didn't think would survive?
I honestly thought when it got to the end of the movie that it was going to be sacrifice all four. And I was I did.
I expected them not to walk away from that.
Yeah, I would have been okay with that too. So would I. My dad, the reason why I watched so many movies is because my dad used to take us to a lot of movies, and he said something really poignant to me one time. He was like, Americans don't like unhappy endings.
Yeah.
They can't handle it. And I was like, really? And I started paying attention after that movie makers, they don't give you a happy ending. Yeah. And I kept searching for movies that did not have happy endings, because that's what most of life is, you know. You get to that point where it's crap.
Do you like subtitled movies?
I love subtitled movies.
Watch anything from Hong Kong and it almost always has a tragic ending.
Okay.
Or at least a not so great ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It may end it happily, but there's been a lot of bad stuff on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it kind of reinforces that, like, egotistical, you know, thing where, well, it doesn't matter how bad things get or how, you know, tragic or anything, it's always going to end up good. And I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, because we're either in denial or we're looking at the good side of things. But if all four of them had died at the end of the movie, I would have walked away and have been fine with that, because that's what you have to do sometimes.
Oh, I agree.
You have to sacrifice.
But you did think that they were going to die, though.
Yeah.
See,
When they all went down into the portal or the pit, whatever. I definitely thought that.
I knew that the Japanese and the Russians were going to die when they didn't get any more screen time then. These are those guys, these are those guys. And then we meet the Australian,
the jerk,
and we talk to him.
Who was
bound to redeem
himself
with
death.
We hear all about all, you know, we knew he was going to be there. That was a little too, you know, it was too easy. Easily done. But overall, I was not surprised by any of the deaths.
Yeah, the only thing that surprised me was the Australian dad. But that's just because I figured he was going to be with his son when he redeemed himself.
No, the other guy had to go out.
I knew he was going to die, but I didn't know how he was going to die.
Once I realized that he was dying from the radiation, I knew he was going to die that way. I knew he was going to get in there.
Did you at any point think that somebody was going to pilot one of them by themselves?
Yeah, they did. At the very beginning.
No, I meant, though, later on, because
they always kept talking about how great
it was that those two did it, and then he stated, I've piloted one myself.
Mm-hmm.
I figured he was going to get one of the ones that were, like, maybe one of those pushed in the back that was just kind of okay. I felt like
maybe that part of it was an undeveloped part of the story.
At one point, I kind of expected when they drifted with the kaiju, when they said that it was Hive Mind, I expected them to take over one of the kaiju and use it.
That, I definitely thought that. He kept, was like, oh my gosh, this, and then he mind melded, and after that, they kept looking for that second brain. I expected the story to go longer, because I knew they were going to find out their plan, which is another thing to Independence Day, because when the alien takes over the president and knocks him out and, you know, starts talking through him, the president sees all of their colonization plans.
Yeah.
And he almost passes out. So that was kind of like...
Well, that was Brent Spiner that he took over.
The president, they zapped him, but yeah. So that was another thing to Independence Day. But when they got the second brain, I definitely thought that they were going to be able to, like, take one of them over and maybe subdue the race or find out more information, because I felt like, oh, we're going to find out about this other alien race. And in alien movies, I always look for more information of what people think. I would have loved to hear what Guillermo del Toro thought an alien race would look like.
Yeah.
And feel like, and, you know, I'll
tell you, that's fine. Watch Pan's Labyrinth or
Hellboy. Oh, no, I love Pan's Labyrinth. Like, Labyrinth is one of my favorite alien races movies.
All of them.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a very vivid imagination and does well with bringing it.
Why do you think that Pan's Labyrinth have anything to do with aliens?
Because those are all alien.
Yeah.
Those creatures?
What creatures?
Mr. Eyes in the Hand.
Pan's Labyrinth?
Okay.
I think you're thinking the wrong Pan movie.
It's a god.
What movie are you talking about?
I'm talking about Pan's Labyrinth with the big blue Pan. He has the big curly.
Right, but there's like 100 other creatures
in
that.
And the little girl gets shot.
Yeah, there's like 100 other creatures in that. That those are all the aliens. I mean, just look at them like because they're not human. Anything not human is technically an alien.
Okay, I can see it from that point of view, but they're
that is the definition.
Well, right, so you're going to say what in Guillermo del Toro's mind is the most alien thing he could come up with that
okay.
Then
so
there's
you're
your
talking
answer.
About okay.
Jeez.
Okay, I got that.
I mean,
by the way, we just spoiled another movie.
Yeah,
Snape kills Dumbledore. And, what else is it? Superman kills.
Look at Hellboy for the same thing.
Yeah.
Look at all those creatures there.
Right.
Those are all aliens to us. They're another race.
Yeah. It's just your definition of what an alien.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it.
So, I have to say, I know you poo-pooed this movie, but here's why I loved it. So, in three movies in the last 2 years, I've gotten this feeling. My heart starts beating faster. I get that sense of amazement and enjoyment, and I got it in Captain America, I got it in the Avengers, I got it in this one, and there was another one, I don't remember which one it was, but those are the three movies, and those are the hallmarks for me. Captain America had its moments where I was just in awe. Same thing with Avengers, and now this one. And to me, that thing that can make me feel like a little kid in such a great way, that makes a good movie. And if that all by itself is the only reason I enjoy the movie, I'm perfectly fine with it. Even if the story isn't great, the action was awesome.
See, I kind of had the reverse effect. I feel as if the kid in me would have enjoyed it, but I don't enjoy
that?
It as much anymore. That's the whole feeling
why
old
have,
thing again.
Why
I
do
am
you have
starting
to be an old fogey?
I'm
why
starting
can't you just
to feel
be a kid?
Old. I know. I overlook things.
Did you expect something in this movie?
I might have.
I think that might be the problem.
I might have expected more than I got.
And I don't mean that in a bad way, but
yeah.
I've learned a long time ago, like before the first G.I. Joe movie, not to expect anything out of a movie.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I expect something, it's gonna let me down, period. If I expect, like in this one, I expected to go in and see a giant robot fight a giant monster, and for me to have fun with it. I got all that.
That might be it. I went into World War Z expecting trash, and I got...
And you felt way better about
that.
You gave that like a 4.
What a good story.
Yeah.
You gave that a 4.
That might be it. Maybe I expected more of this movie.
Yeah, that's fine, because it's Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
Because you expect something out of that director, and you just didn't realize what you should have expected out of that actor or director, I think, is what it was. Because,
and I understand. He got what he wanted. It is exactly the kind of movie he planned to make. It just wasn't the kind of movie I wanted to watch.
Okay. All right, do we have anything else to add to this? Any other thoughts?
Just it's a really good movie, and we haven't touched on every single part of
And
that I recommend people going and seeing it.
I think it's something that if you go in expecting to see action and adventure, and you don't expect a whole lot of movie, I think you'll come out feeling like you didn't waste your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the trailers definitely matched it.
I have to say the trailers didn't match this one. They didn't match World War Z very well. They were a little off, but that's not a bad way.
Yeah.
Unlike After Earth, the trailers didn't match at all, and that was disappointing.
That might be another part of my problem. I don't watch trailers. Unless I'm at a movie where I watch trailers, I don't watch TV. I watch Netflix. I have no commercials.
Well,
do you have the
though.
Internets?
Well, if I'm going to watch something on the internet, I'm not going to watch a commercial. I'll watch a TV show or something else. Like, but yeah, I could have researched it.
You should have researched this, since this was part of our movie draft.
But I felt as if I just wanted to go in with a clean slate.
Yeah. But you didn't go in with a
clean slate. I know. You always have baggage.
I know.
Well, and my baggage is
heavy. Which is the story of the movie.
Oh, my gosh. It is.
Okay. So, I think we're going to wrap up a little bit. Is that... I think we all enjoyed it to a point. I think Jesse could have enjoyed it more if he had not expected so much of it. He expected a deeper movie.
Yeah. When I watch it again with my family, I'll probably love it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and when you compare it to all of our other monster movies, what else do we have that's anything like this visually?
The Avengers.
No, monster movies.
That's monsters.
Fine. Besides the Avengers? Nothing. I mean, nothing. Look at Godzilla and all that stuff. Even King Kong, King
Godzilla
Kong.
Disappointed me so much. American Godzilla did.
Well, no, I'm talking about the old Godzillas. Yeah. The really bad ones.
No, those were great.
I mean, they're bad special effects.
Yeah. But they had great story.
No, they didn't. How can
When the little tiny women sung the Mothra, it opened my heart.
Okay. All right. We're gonna move right on. So that is it for us tonight on the Nerds Domain podcast. You can always send us an email at nerdsdomain@gmail.com, or you can catch us on Twitter. I'm at Quiet. Shirley is at SNED70. Jesse is at J_Kimmett, or you can follow the website at Nerds Domain. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdsdomain. We want to thank Josh Shop for our music. And if you want to help us out, you can head over to our website and click on the Amazon link. You can buy just about anything on Amazon, and it costs you the same shipping time, same shipping price, but a little bit comes back to us. Also, if you enjoyed the podcast, we encourage you to go right over onto iTunes and click some stars and write us a review. We have t-shirts available over at /loot. You can go to tinyurl.com/ndshirts. And look at the stuff we've got there, and we will talk to you real soon.